in the consciousness of David, there came a deep conviction of his need. And this man cries out, O God, I have discovered that you desire truth on the inward parts. Let me emphasize that to you so that those who are sitting in the audience today and those in Radioland can understand what I'm talking about. Long before outward sin becomes an act of reality, there are sins on the inside that produce the sin on the outside. I think that David knew that, but sometimes in our careless walk of life we forget that the things we entertain secretly on the inside are the things that are destructive to us when it comes to our walk with God. Listen to a statement from Ezekiel, and it has to do with the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom: pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her, and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. I'd like for you to note, there's no mention of this until at the latter portion of the reading about the outward sin of Sodom. But long before the perverted acts began, there was a condition of sin on the inside. Listen to the first sin that is condemned: pride. Pride is one of the worst sins that anyone can have. Somebody said, well, what about adultery? What about fornication? What about all the other things, stealing, murder, etc.? But listen, friend, pride was the cause for the fall of Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. What kind of pride? They exalted their mind above the mind of God. And when they did that, they found out that there was a God in heaven that would bring judgment upon them. They were told they could eat of all the trees of that Garden of Eden, but there was one, the knowledge of good and evil, that they should not touch. But Satan, the subtle one, planted a thought in their heart, and this was the thought he planted in the heart of Eve. He said, if you eat of this tree, ye shall not surely die. And then goes on to say, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Friend, I want you to know something. This matter of knowing about good and evil has to do with the judgment of the kind of life you're living. You can either choose good or you can choose evil. But we are shapen in sin and iniquity. And because we are in a tendency to choose that which is evil. But God cast them out of the Garden of Eden because they exalted their mental ability above what God had to say. And the devil will do that to you every time. He'll tell you God doesn't mean what he says. Don't be fooled, friend. This word has been forever settled in heaven. And Almighty God will bring to pass that which he has called when it comes to the matter of judgment. Notice something else. In the book of Luke, it talks about the sins that took place, and it tells us about the generation in which we live, which will bring the coming of the Lord. And it tells us this, and in that day it was as in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married. They were given in marriage. That has to do with divorcing. And the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. If you will then remember what I told you about the sin of Sodom, you remember they had fullness of bread. This amazing affluence, possessions gets hold of the heart of man. The inside of man in his thoughts becomes selfish. God knows the thoughts of your heart. You can't hide your secret lusts. You can't hide your evil imaginations. Not from God you can't. You can't hide your envy and your strife that's on the inside. God sees those sins. And then when you let them become a part of your thinking and imagination, you have opened your heart to the power of sin and destruction, and there'll be an outward sin that will destroy you. But I've got news for you. I've got good news for you. And the good news is, even though you have sin on the inside, and then you project sins on the outside that are severe, perverted, ungodly, unrighteous, I can tell you about a Savior who saves to the uttermost. Listen to what the apostle says. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Over harvest time today, I want to tell you about a power that is beyond every power there is in this life. It's the power of the gospel. When I talk about the power of the gospel, I'm talking about a power that can absolutely change your soul and your spirit. I'm talking about a gospel that can cleanse your outward life by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, such were some of you, but you're washed. You're justified. You're sanctified by the Spirit of God and by the washing of water. Notice this very beautiful explanation in connection with the Word of God. There's no sin so deep that He cannot save you from. Do you know who was saved when Jesus died on the cross? Who was saved from death? It was Barabbas. They released him on that day when Jesus was dying on the cross. Suddenly, a man that was the worst sinner and murderer of his time was released because Jesus took his place. And the news to you today is that Jesus took your place a long time ago. Where you should have died, He has been the giver of life to all men through His death. He endured the death of the cross for the joy that was set before Him. What was that joy? The joy of the songs of praise of sinners that have been won by the grace of God. The grace of God is beautiful. It reaches to the lowest depth and brings men into contact with the power of the Holy Spirit. And let me say to you as you listen to this broadcast, Jesus came to bring a hope to you in your distressed condition. Where are you today? What are you attempting to prove today? Have you lost your conscience? Have you allowed yourself to drift into the depths of sin and never found the wonderful Savior who can save you from all sin? I want you to know the gospel is the greatest power in the world. It's greater than nuclear power. It's greater than political power. It's greater than manpower. It's greater than any army that ever existed. The power of the gospel is the greatest thing that ever came into this terra firma. Let me tell it to you in this way. This is the way Paul said it. I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. There's no power like the gospel. Nobody can save you but Jesus Christ. Nobody can change your life but Jesus Christ. That's why the power of the gospel is the greatest force in the world. That's why Paul said, know ye not that we shall judge angels? Why? Because saved, Holy Ghost-filled people will become the judges of the world's sins. Hear what I'm saying. There is no power that can be placed in man's hands greater than the gospel. We're standing in a pulpit on a platform in San Francisco, California. San Francisco is a big city with teeming millions. There are many people who are in the depths of sin. But San Francisco's not alone. Name New York City. Name Los Angeles. Name Tokyo. Name some of the biggest cities in the world. They are all deeply tainted, painted with the brush of death by the hand of Satan. But the gospel saves to the uttermost. It doesn't matter how deep you are in sin. My God can save you. That name of Jesus Christ, when you go down in the water, and the baptizer who baptizes you says, I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not the water that saves you. It's the name of Jesus Christ with the water. You're buried with Him in baptism to rise to walk in newness of life. You're planted together in the likeness of His death so that you shall rise to walk in the likeness of His resurrection. There's nothing greater than that, friend. Nothing that can change you more than that. And I urge you, as you hear our broadcast today, find a church that preaches the full gospel. I'm not talking about shaking the hand of the preacher. I'm talking about going down in the waters of baptism. I'm talking about receiving the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. I guarantee you, that experience will change your life and set you in a new direction.
Harvest time.
Harvest time.
Today's outstanding gospel message is available to you if you will request it when you write to us at Harvest Time, Box 215, St. Louis, Missouri, 63166, USA. We would be extremely pleased to hear from you this week and to know that you are attending the United Pentecostal Church near you. You'll love the atmosphere of this truth-proclaiming center in your area. Now, in behalf of our General Superintendent, Nathaniel A. Urshan, and the people of the United Pentecostal Church International, this is Hugh Rose saying, God bless you. It was great to be with you today, and we'll be looking forward to being with you next week.